Okay, Jack, we've officially taken like a massive step.
Huge step, actually, yeah. Got a poster, got our soundboard, we got the new mics. Well, big shout out to the For Love podcast. We did a collaboration with them not that long ago. I know the boys from school. And for some reason in Western Australia, all of these particular mics by Rode, they're all sold out. They're sold out everywhere. The only way you can get them is either being shipped from Rode, which is like late October, I think. So yeah, I was asking them a few questions because they have these mics and they went and said, we have spares. We've got two in our closet. You can use them. So that was so nice of them to actually do that. So really appreciate it, boys.
They've been doing that podcast now for 4 years.
4 years.
That's impressive. Like, it's very impressive. I saw them on their Instagram. They were basically saying celebrating 4 years together and they were all dressed up.
4 years is impressive because like we've only been doing it for like
3 months now.
This is our fourth month. Fourth month now.
Yeah. I mean, to think about it, man, we've come so far already. You know, we started off with just two cameras. One, my camera was terrible. It cuts off every 20 minutes. Now I've got to use my phone. And then we had that desk from IKEA that had one leg that didn't work properly.
That's your third camera now you're looking at.
Yeah.
Looking at it like an actual third camera.
Yeah.
For you, this is my second camera because the first one ran on AA batteries, so we'd cut out just random times. It's good. And a lot of this came together like very quickly. Like I got these mics off the boys yesterday. I picked up these couches off, I think it was Facebook Marketplace for $50 this morning, and you just got that. I got the Rodecaster yesterday as well.
It was starting to become a lot more professional. Starting to become like a more. It's no longer a side hustle. It's like almost like a full time.
Well,
I thought for us now.
Yeah. Well, I'd spoken about that we needed to get better sounding equipment. We need better audio equipment so people could hear us a bit more clearer. It's like night and day compared to our old mics. They were just, you know, they're just normal USB mics, and it's better that it's gone this way. It's a lot easier to hear. It's a lot more clear. There's one thing I do need to fix up is, you know, on our soundboard, we've got eight different little icons that the boys at the For a Laugh were showing us, and you can play different, excuse me, you can play lots of different sounds in that. And we're going to add a few like UFC ones, like It's Time by Bruce Buffer, maybe Who the Fuck Is That Guy by Conor McGregor,
Some Conor McGregor ones like, oh, you do nothing.
You'll do fucking nothing. Yeah, we need some ones like that, but it feels, the main things for me, I'm not going to lie, these armchairs have made a huge difference. Yeah. I hated those little acting chairs that we got off, was it Target or Kmart or something like that?
Yeah, Kmart. Well, we had to start somewhere, so it's an upgrade. Next thing you know, we get design 11. Leather chairs.
I don't even really like leather that much, but like.
But it kind of feels more like a conversation style, yeah. You know, rather than just two dudes.
This feels a lot nicer. And also, if we, you know, doing an hour, what's our longest? An hour and a half, probably?
Yeah, around that much. Yeah.
Probably an hour and like 15 minutes or something like that, hour and 20.
We can now talk a lot more comfortably on these two couches.
Yeah, because your back's fucking killing you when you're on these.
Here's the other thing we got to talk about, really, is just not just the equipment, but us in general. Remember when we did that first podcast, the first one?
Yeah.
And it was like an hour, almost a whole hour of me going, and you going,
I still do that.
We still do that. But we've got to do that a lot less.
I say that, this is our 21st podcast.
Yeah.
21st.
And this is everyday hour 8. So I want us to do, should we want to just jump into it? Let's get some, I've got some notes down.
You start us off, dude.
Okay, man. The first thing I want to ask you, did you watch the first presidential debate?
I actually did. I was at work and for some reason my data provider gave me, I was already out of data. I think they only give me like a gig a month, but they ended up giving me like 20 gigs or something. And I was like, I just flicked on YouTube and they had all the clips. I think it was ABC News or something like that, had like the 10 and 15 minute clips, broke down the, and I watched, I flicked through a good few when I was on my lunch break, but Oh, it was, do you know what I was very surprised by? Joe Biden, surprisingly, all together.
Yeah.
And
kept it together.
Which is funny because Trump even said, hey, I'll do a drug test, but will Biden? And Biden said, no, I refuse to do a drug test prior to the debate. And I, He got him on some.
he probably got, you know, did a couple of lines before he got up there.
I don't know. No. They're probably
a bit of that old magic in his system.
They're probably like injecting like nootropics into him and like.
I got a feeling. Yeah.
Oh, he's got.
He's probably on like a nootropic drip. I mean, it's called that.
No. He's got an IV of Alpha Brain and things like that. Yeah.
It's just because I was waiting for him to snap. I was waiting for him to, like, you know, stutter or at least show some form of, like, you know, memory loss or anything, or cognitive decline, so Trump could bank on it. But first of all, I'm just going to say hats off to Biden for holding it together, but the debate itself was an absolute shit show. I was listening to it while working out and I had to stop because there were times when I was working out, I was like, oh my God, it's like listening to 2 5-year-olds argue. There was like 2.5 hours of you shut up, no, you shut up, and interrupting it's from
bad.
Trump.
It's really bad.
And then Biden was saying things like, this clown, oh, you're stupid, you're this idiot.
I think a lot of the time he was just saying, shut up.
Yeah.
It was weird because, like, everyone was getting very upset at the mediator as well.
He was terrible.
I didn't think he was that bad.
I think he just didn't have a very good job of controlling the situation.
No, and I think there was times when he would go all in on Trump and he would be like, sorry, Biden, you may go.
Yeah.
Even when Biden did the exact same thing. Yeah. I know Trump, I believe Trump did slightly more interruptions.
Yeah.
But when Trump would do it, he would lay into him. But when Biden did anything and said just the exact same stuff, he would give him a pass.
What I thought was an absolute low blow was when they brought their kids into debate.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Trump was having a go at Joe Biden's kid, Hunter Biden.
The cocaine addiction. Yes. I thought you meant physically brought them in.
No. That was a low blow. Talking about your mate's kid, like talking about your opponent's kid in a debate when it's between you two.
I think that was on calls for, especially when he was bringing in some stuff like, then why was he given, you know, tens of millions of dollars and things like that.
Yeah.
And he had a valid point there, but
the cocaine I'm like, what's? I just thought to myself, mate.
Biden just said he had a drug problem. He's fixed it and he's on. And
but I thought that was just childish.
I don't think it was
I don't think it was. Yeah. I don't think it was necessary, nor do I think it was called for. But in your opinion, who do you think won that debate?
Trump.
Trump. I gotta say Trump too.
I believe Biden says a lot of
respect for Biden though.
Yeah, okay. He's changed it up a bit. I just think, you know, when you see some of Trump's rallies, you know, they pan the camera around and you see the stack of people that are behind where you don't usually see where the camera is. The camera is at like at the first third, whereas there's another two-thirds of the rally behind you, right? And then when you show Biden's one, he's got like 10 people.
Yeah.
In these little circles on chairs. You know, that obviously that's not a decent indicator of who's going to do better. But I really do think that, you know, they're calling him Sleepy Joe Biden for a reason. He doesn't seem a whole lot there. And, you know, it's been about like a year of people being quite disappointed in who they've got to pick between.
Do you know they're pretty much the same age though?
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
That's interesting though. But like Trump.
Trump's much sharper.
Yes, he is. But not even that, but physically they look very different for 77.
Trump fat, Joe Biden skinny.
Yeah. And not even that, but Trump still got the golden hair. And then.
Oh, come on. They released that. It was really funny. He'd spent his tax write-off on The Apprentice was 70 grand for hairstyling.
Really?
70 grand on hair. I'm like, that's a real... I mean, to be fair, if you're Trump, you're getting the world's best hairstylist.
Yeah.
So if you are the world's best hairstylist, you're going to get some... You know, you're going to get a lot of... You're going to charge a serious price.
Yeah.
But what's really funny is when Trump, he brags about how much tax he doesn't pay.
Yeah.
Like when he, when, you know, they said, oh, he showed he only paid $750 or something like that. And then and Trump goes, yes, but that makes me very smart. Very, very smart.
Well, I got a question how he does it though. I mean, like if he's got that much money and pays that much tax.
He paid very little in federal tax.
Curious how he did it.
No, what they say is, oh, he paid very little in federal tax, but he pays a lot in state tax and things like that. A lot of big businesses and things like these big companies that are worth a lot of money and, you know, produce a lot of investment, they try not to do huge tax cuts because it deters them away to go somewhere cheaper. Whereas they would kind of like to play nice and still have that investment and only tax them so much. That's that, you know, a lot of these, you know, billion-dollar companies and billion-dollar industries, they don't like it when the government intervenes because it can deter them away and then they lose that part of their economy. So there is that, and it is a I'm not going to pretend that we're very politically minded, but
we're not really. I mean,
and it's not a really it's more fun.
It's some fun, but the reason why is because I was young. I was only in year 3 or year 4 mm-hmm. when Obama was first elected into when he was first elected as president, and then, you know, he served 2 terms, never really paid much attention to American politics. The year when Trump was against Hillary Clinton was in 2016. That was in our last year of high school. That was when I started, like, listening to and trying to get involved because, well, I knew that Trump was a celebrity and I knew that Hillary Clinton was Bill Clinton's wife. So I started listening to it, really. And then that's when I started getting involved, and I like to follow it just to keep you know, because it's a fun thing to follow. It can be a bit interesting thing to follow, you know what I mean? Because, you know, at the end of the day, they are leaders of probably one of the biggest countries in the world, and they have such a, power on a global scale. It's important to understand who they are and what it is they're trying to run for, what it is they're trying to change. Mm. So that was what first got me involved. But all I got to say is, man, that guy's a lot of fun, Trump. He's a lot of fun. I don't think there's ever been a politician in the history of ever that's had this much, like, controversy, this much negative news around.
Negative, like, publicity.
And
yeah.
Negative around him. Yeah. I don't think we've ever had, I don't think Australian politicians or a Australian politician, maybe Gough Whitlam's ever had this kind of popularity, you get what I mean?
Mm.
I'm not comparing him to Gough Whitlam, but I'm just saying in terms of, like, the attraction that's just revolving around one man is just so high. You know what I mean? Because if you think about it, like when Mitt Romney and Obama were up against it, so who did Obama run against in his first term? Can you remember? Was it Mitt Romney or was it?
No idea. It was when I was in primary school.
So it was a long time ago.
It was a really long time ago.
Yeah. Anyway. What I'm saying is he's like one of the most looked at politicians ever. He's the first celebrity, well, not the first celebrity politician, but he does sort of show.
Because Reagan was a celebrity politician as well.
So it was John F. Kennedy.
Yeah. What was interesting? No, something just popped into my head. I remember when Obama was president when I was in primary school and middle school. And I really liked Obama as a kid because I was like, that guy plays basketball. He's really good at basketball because he would make all these like basketball jokes about the Chicago Bulls and things like that. And that's what I remember. And that made him a little bit like relatable,
mm-hmm.
Just because he liked basketball. I was like, yeah, all right. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
What was funny? Trump got
coronavirus.
COVID. very funny. After we posted it, you know, and mind you, I think we were a bit quicker than even ABC News and things like that, actually, because we saw it on Twitter.
Yeah.
A lot of Trump's news comes out of Twitter. Posted on Instagram, we got followed by a lot of Trump accounts.
Really?
And one of them was Trump has coronavirus. And the entire Instagram was dedicated just to memes about Trump getting COVID. Like, you called coronavirus a hoax. How do you catch a hoax?
Oh my God.
To be fair, funny. But he's now in hospital right now with the first lady.
Yeah, so because she got it as well.
Mm.
So I was just like, Trump's got coronavirus. They just left Melina out of it, really, pretty much.
Yeah. POTUS and FLOTUS are in hospital. Yeah, very weird. Very strange.
I didn't see that coming.
I didn't see it coming, but I saw a video of this morning of Trump. He was talking on Twitter as he usually does, and it was a video of him saying, and he was looking a little bit worse for wear, but he was saying, I wasn't feeling so well, so we got sent to hospital, but we're doing really well. And some of the therapeutics that have been given to us, they're, quite frankly, they're miracles. They're miracles. What's the hand gestures he does? Quite frankly,
He does that a lot. He does this. They're
miracles. Yeah, he speaks a lot with his hands.
Well, one thing I've got to bring up, man, is just like this. I don't know why, but according to a lot of people, this is the symbol
white power.
White power. And I'm like pretty sure that means okay. Because
it's always been okay. And not only has it been okay, it's always been the – what's the game?
The circle game.
I know, but it used to be called something else.
Really? The asshole game?
I heard about the asshole game, but I never knew you called it an asshole or you did that. I knew you go like that and you go, oh, you looked at my – you looked there and you get to punch them, right? I never knew you put your finger in and that means you don't get it. Well, I never knew that.
You put your finger then if you can't look at it.
Exactly, but like people would be like looking at you like this and then you would look down and like your mates would be doing it in high school and shit like that and then you get a punch.
Yeah, well, some guys would get in trouble for doing that. I mean,
some people would also hit them in the dick.
Yeah,
sack tap. That was a good one.
Times. I remember that.
Because it only escalates. Because I know some of my friends started doing, instead of punching the balls, they did kneeing in the balls.
Oh, we just did a flick with the knuckles, just like bing.
Actually, no, maybe I just kneed in the balls. Never mind.
You need someone in the balls. What, like a Jure Master's doll in each of the balls?
No, I think I... Do you remember Ines?
Yeah.
I think I need him in the balls. I think
Can you tell me about that time when you guys went away to, what's it called, Groove in the Moo? And then there was that chick that just was not having it, and so just turned around and whacked him. But she whacked Ines or something like that. And then and then all these guys were on the side. And as a result, they just like put their hands over their nutsacks because they thought they were going to get hit too.
No?
I swear you told me the story. I swear, man. No. Maybe he told me the story.
I think Ines told you the story, not me. I wouldn't know.
But it was funny.
That might have been the festival that he went to the year before because I went, yeah.
I see.
No, it must have been a story. So did he whack someone by accident?
No, he got whacked.
Oh, he got whacked.
He got whacked in the nuts. It was like a straight shot to the nuts too.
No, I was there. No, man, I remember. Yeah. She went back like this. Bang! And hit him in the nuts. And to be honest, I still don't know why, but funny.
Little dicky flicky, you know.
It wasn't a dicky flicky, dude. It was full knuckle. It was full just bang.
Festivals are back though. Festivals are gonna come back. Well, I'm pretty sure the government's pushing to get them back for next year.
Right. I know they're doing a lot of like smaller festival stuff. Yeah. Perth wise. We know that.
Well, I know that Seasons is coming back.
Seasons at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the New Year's Eve party for Seasons is going to be back.
Right, okay.
But I don't think we'll have Origin just yet, but I know I've got a feeling Seasons will go off.
Some of these festivals like that, I miss those types of festivals.
Yeah, the truth is I've never been to one of those like pop-up bars. For an hour or so, but I've never really was like about that, you know.
I've been to some. They're pretty good.
Okay.
They're pretty good. I would recommend. How did we even get here? We went from Trump to festivals.
We just got to keep the conversation flowing.
There's
a couple of things I also wanted to bring.
Okay, what's up?
I know this is the everyday hour, but you know, we pick and choose the things we want to talk about and the gossip we want to talk about because there's just so much to cover.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I really, really want to talk to you about is Conor McGregor and Poirier. So I'm sure you know a lot of information about this, but apparently Conor released DMs, right, of him and Dana chatting to each other. And basically he's saying, yeah, I want Poirier. And then he put Dana said, I said no, or he didn't give it to him. And then as a result, Dana also lied to everyone and said that, oh, Conor didn't want Poirier. But now it kind of shows that Dana's different. But also one of the other things is just shows that some people, like Conor just has the power to message Dana through Instagram. Like, this is an Instagram message they sent to him saying, yeah, I want.
He was very upset.
Yeah.
He was very, very upset. I'll tell you that.
The thing is, like, Conor's gone in a matter of weeks from wanting to fight Pacquiao to wanting to fight Poirier. People shouldn't sleep on Poirier right now. We watched his last fight against Dan Hooker, and that was a war.
Such a good fight,
though.
That was
a great fight, yeah. So, I mean, so I got a feeling really now that Poirier, if he were to fight Conor, he'd give him a run for his money. But I don't know. Is this going to be – because I believe that Conor wanted to fight Poirier for a charity boxing – for a charity match, and it wanted to be unsanctioned by the UFC. And now Dana's like, okay, well, we'll give it a fight, but it's sanctioned. Got to be sanctioned by the UFC.
The reason why he was upset about that was, one, he said, "Oh, don't leak DMs." Conor says, "Well, I wouldn't have to leak these DMs if you weren't talking shit and saying that, you know, that I didn't want to fight." When he said, he clearly put his name up and he didn't turn down the fight. What sucks now is that isn't a healthy relationship with your so-called boss or promoter, and especially in the UFC, because it does not go well.
Yeah.
We know that with Tito Ortiz and things like that, with Dana, never goes well. Don't have a feud with Dana. It's going to make it rough for you.
Yeah.
But Conor McGregor is such a big draw that it can sort of negate some of those bad effects or that friction. Conor wasn't getting a fight because he was the biggest draw. And nobody wants to waste their cash cow on not having any crowds, right? Especially if it's not in Dublin or Las Vegas, somewhere huge like it was when it was against him and Cerrone. So that wasn't a good that was a huge factor to bring into this mess. Now, Conor then reaches out to Poirier and says, "Look, I'll offer $500,000 for us to have a charity match. I'll fly you to Dublin myself with my people. We'll have a fight for charity. It'll all go to Dustin Poirier's charity that he often supports, which is the Good Fight. That's what he always sells off all his fight apparel and all his gloves that he wore, and he signs them, sells them off for charity. Makes a lot of really good money. Goes to hospitals and he is a very nice guy. Now, you know, Conor puts that forth. Poirier instantly agrees. What was interesting was Poirier agreed to either lightweight or welterweight. He does not care. Now, Dustin Poirier has never fought at welterweight. Now, Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier, too, looks likely, because now Dana White then offers Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier the actual fight, which is very strange that it's now materialized now, still works out. Poirier has actually agreed. Conor was supposed to give them his decision by the end of the day, which was yesterday. And we still don't have any news left. So I don't know how that goes. He could be trying to work things out, because I don't know how that works with the fight versus Manny. Because the fight against Manny that was supposed to happen in the Middle East was supposedly confirmed, but then a lot of people in the Middle East were saying, actually, this is not true. A lot of people don't really want to work with Conor because of the things he said about Khabib and things like that. So it's very weird, because also that poster that Conor put up saying him versus Manny in the Middle East was going to be in 2021, and they'd actually told him, you have to take it down or else they're going to sue him. And he eventually did take it down off, you know, social media like Twitter. It's a very strange time, because you and I love Conor McGregor, and if there was any show that we wanted to go and watch live and fly out to in America, it would be a UFC main event, Conor McGregor versus fucking any opponent. Really don't care. So it's really great that we've got him back in the sport, because he retired because he was very frustrated about not having any fights presented to him, or not getting that rematch to Khabib that he was supposedly promised by Dana. But it's also bad because will they have a crowd by then if this does materialize?
Well, it depends where the fight's going to go down.
I mean, it could be a fight island.
Could be a fight island. I mean, the issue is really whenever and not how much. Well, we know that it's going to be a sell view pay per view, right? It's going to be millions and millions of money. But one thing we got to understand is they kind of want a crowd. You know, he loves it. He loves being there. He loves just being in the stadium. He loves it. Wants it to be a spectacle for the people. You know, he's not the kind of person who would really want to fight in private, because obviously if he did, then he would have fought by now and not retired.
Although he did do a charity boxing match in his old gym.
Okay, fair enough.
That was, I believe, last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing we've got to count out now is how far Poirier has come since the last time he's fought Conor. He's had multiple fight of the night bonuses. He's had some absolute record-breaking fights, you know. He even gave Khabib a run for his money.
Interim champ.
Yeah, there was even at one point where he almost beat Khabib. He was even said it at the end, got stuck in
that guillotine choke. Yeah.
And he just was questioning. He was saying to myself, oh, "I'm just beating myself up because I didn't know I didn't pass the guard." And you know, so Poirier, and then he put on the fight with Dan Hooker. That man is durable, and he's fought against Justin Gaethje, and he's beaten him. You know, he is. Definitely one to keep your eyes on. And if he were to fight Conor, Conor's in trouble, and I reckon a fight like that will go the distance.
I'm not going to lie. I think lightweight is probably one of my favorite divisions right now. It's probably now my favorite, right? But it's a really good time to be a fight fan. It really is. You know, bantamweight, unfortunately, Davison Figueiredo versus Cody Garbrandt fell through. Cody Garbrandt had a bicep injury. I think he tore his right bicep or something like that. So now he's out. He's against, I think it's Alex Perez, for the strap. You know, oh, is that, yeah, that's flyweight. Bantamweight. We've got a lot of interesting stuff going on bantamweight. We've been thinking of maybe TJ Dillashaw potentially coming back soon. There's even the Henry Cejudo possibly coming back, maybe going to attack Alex Volkanovski in featherweight. Featherweight, you've got Zabit, you've got Calvin Kattar, you've got Korean Zombie, you've got Brian Ortega. Not to mention we had Frankie Edgar that moved down to bantamweight. Lightweight, I think, is the most interesting right now.
Star power, basically.
I think it is, because you've got Khabib, who has beat Dustin Poirier. You've then got Tony Ferguson that has beat everyone, but lost to Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje is coming to fight Khabib very soon.
And he's got 100% finish rate.
Exactly, but he's lost to...
twice, to Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier.
Then there's Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor has beat Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier.
And he's the biggest star.
And the biggest star, for sure. Then you have the wild card, ex-Bellator Michael Chandler coming in, who is, you know, he's in there. He's probably going to be at Fight Island in case anyone has any issues with maybe a weight cut or anything like that. Or else he's going to find his any fight. I believe they're going to give him a top five, right? Most likely a Tony Ferguson or something like that. It's a really good time to be a fight fan.
Really? What would you say? Ferguson versus Chandler.
I'd love to see that.
I reckon that, or maybe Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker versus Chandler, or Ferguson versus Chandler.
Dan Hooker's he's huge for a lightweight.
We said that as well. He's got ridiculously long arms.
Mm.
For a lightweight, I mean, he's definitely in the mix. He's definitely in the talks as well. We just can't count out the lightweight division, really. I just wish there would be a couple more fights going on before the year's
through. Exactly. And speaking of Conor McGregor, SBG Ireland's teammate James Gallagher had his fight today at Bellator, and he won by I think it was rear naked choke. I think that's maybe his seventh or eighth win by rear naked choke or something like that. Mad. So he's on a four win streak now. So very, very interesting. I think he's going to now, and what he actually asked in the interview was, give me the belt. The belt's mine. You know, so he's coming after I'm blanking on the name. Sergio Pettis.
Oh, okay.
I think he's coming after Sergio Pettis. That'll be a really interesting fight as well, because they're both very good on the ground as well. This is going to be a really excellent fight that I'd love to see in the future as well. Bellator has stepped their game up with a few fighters now. They've started to sign on a lot of new talent rather than having aged veterans from the UFC. They've probably passed their prime.
Yeah, they want stars of their own, what I mean?
And I think they're doing a good job. They're doing a good job. They're signing on a lot of people that, could even go to the UFC.
Yeah.
Right, but they're signing them on to Bellator and they're building up their own talent stock rather than taking whoever jumps out of the UFC because they're on a little bit at the end of their career or, they're an aged competitor.
Yep.
So that's an interesting thing to note as well.
Now, we've just been talking about fights we want to see right now, but the main attraction that everyone is talking about right now within the MMA news world is Israel Adesanya versus John Jones. Those two have been at each other's throats on Twitter lately. Like, John Jones has basically been having a go at Adesanya basically after his win. And now Adesanya basically brought up his mother, and now it's like a lot of bullying.
I thought that wasn't a good idea to come after his mum.
But John Jones' brother stepped into the mix.
Did he?
What is it with John Jones' family? Like, they're all like superstars, like super athletes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they just hit the genetic lottery. Like,
I think they are. They just are.
I think his brother's like an NFL player as well, and he's huge. Enormous. And he basically has tweeted out saying, "At Israel, tread lightly," basically, because
Adesanya's
right now the shit. So there's always going to be people after him,
Izzy's in a very good spot in the middleweight division, because it's not like the light heavyweights where it became quite stagnant with Jones just knocking them down. Middleweight challenges are coming, quite a lot. There's Kelvin Gastelum that did very well against Izzy. There's we've got Darren Till, we've got Jaron Cannonier versus Robert Whittaker. That's coming up really soon.
Because Killer Gorillas basically had quite a history. He was one of the most overlooked fighters in the UFC.
He was a light heavyweight, dropped to middleweight, had huge success there. Yeah. Completely different fighter now. It is a very interesting fight for Whittaker versus Cannonier. And it looks like the one that does win fights Izzy. But the weird thing that came out was Dana quickly said Izzy versus Jones is the fight to make.
Yeah.
Now, should that materialize in 2021? We don't know. It is what Israel wanted. He said, "I imagined us fighting in 2021.
Do you reckon if it were to happen, I believe that Israel Adesanya and John Jones would have to fight at light heavyweight.
It would be a 205. It'd be a
little bit of a jump, but the thing is, Jones is trying to move up to heavyweight.
It doesn't quite make sense with his goals right now, because he's been wanting to go to heavyweight for years and years, and now he looks thick. He's a thick boy now. So I think it's a weird time in his career to start going that route. Would I tune in? Hell yeah. And Jones vs. Adesanya, I believe, would be one of the greatest pay-per-views ever.
Oh, yeah.
I think it would be very much in the realm of McGregor figures. I really think so.
Yeah. It can definitely happen. It's the rate at which those two have despised each other. But there hasn't been, any works of talks of a fight between the two. It's just, a lot of back and forth, really. But right now, John Jones' first fight is yet to be announced. But the dude is looking...
He's looking thick.
I was looking at his Instagram the other day, and then his video of him just training, I'm like...
He's looking big.
The heavyweight division's got to watch out. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is not only just... John Jones, who Israel's having a blast at, it's also Costa. Costa's had such a weird reaction to losing.
Costa's taken it on the chin, but he's...
No, he's not.
No. What I mean is he's copying it from Izzy on Twitter, because Costa was saying, there was some things that happened before the fight. injured. His coach had said, apparently, he didn't get any sleep the night before, right? Because of the time difference. However, his coach said, we cannot make excuses, though. Izzy was the better fighter and he did very well. And he commended him on that. So Costa's coach did the right thing. Costa then goes and says, I want a rematch. I want to kill you.
Yeah.
Strange, because then Izzy reaches out and shared DMs of him saying, look, you were disrespectful, so I had to be disrespectful back. If you do well in a few more fights, then I'll fight you again.
That was which was the
right way to handle it. Yeah. I think that was the right. What I'm going to throw something that's interesting at you, because I was listening to an interview with, I believe it was Ariel Helwani with Jan Błachowicz. Mm-hmm. And sorry, not Błachowicz, Błachowicz. And Jan went and said, before my fight against Reyes, I got hardly any sleep before the fight. I only maybe had 2 or 3 hours of sleep because of the time difference, and I was very, very nervous. Yet, has the greatest performance of his career, knocking out Reyes.
Yeah. It's on the internet of us losing our
exactly.
shit.
Exactly.
By the way, if you're watching this right now, there's a video of Jack.
It's about 250 views now.
That's not the most reactive video.
Well, every hour jumps up maybe 2 or 3 views, and we're racking them up each day. So I think that's our most viewed video.
The last one before that was Alex was the first episode of the podcast that we did.
As well as our clip of Alexander Rakic. So very... Yeah, so that was a really funny video to make. But it's very weird how there's a contrast between the main and the co-main event. Co-main event, Jan Błachowicz knocks out Reyes, has very, very poor sleep, incredibly nervous beforehand. Costa, who's undefeated, fights also undefeated Israel Adesanya, and then has terrible sleep beforehand, potentially an injury, don't really know.
Well,
At the end of the day, excuses are excuses. Yeah. You know, no fighter goes in 100%, right? Yeah. You know,
all those hours and hours and years of training just down for what, 15 minutes, 20 minutes in a cage?
If it's not, you know, blown ACLs or blown knees or elbows or shoulders, it's staph infections and things like that from rolling and doing jiu-jitsu and things like that. So no fighter goes in perfect anyway. Do I want to see Costa versus Adesanya again? Yes.
Yes, but not straight away.
But not straight away.
Well, the reason why is because Costa's already back in the gym training hard. There's like
so did Izzy. The next day, Izzy, there was, what's his face? Kevin Lee went and said, had a video with Izzy and he said he's back in the gym. Pretty sure he had the fight on the Saturday of the Sunday and he was back in the gym on the Monday or something like that. So they're both staying very busy, which is excellent for a fighter. Now,
well, because Izzy was always one of the most active fighters.
He always was. And now he's 106 or something like that.
Yeah. Because I got a feeling that when the Cannonier versus Whitaker fight comes along, Izzy's going to give him the opportunity to say to Dana, yep, set it up and ready to go straight away. You know, he loves to stay active, Izzy. Which is interesting.
Which is very interesting. I was also, you know, interested on how Whitaker is going to go against Cannonier because it's not an easy fight as well. But Whitaker went and commended Izzy and saying that was one of his best fights ever that I've ever seen. He's one of the greatest counterpunchers. And the way to fight Izzy, you cannot come into his range. Which is what Yoel Romero did, but Yoel Romero didn't execute it very well. He didn't bait Izzy coming in as well as I think he hoped prior to the fight. Now, I'm not too sure who I take, Robert or I take Jared for this next fight. I do not know. I would love to see Whitaker versus Adesanya too. That would be an excellent fight. Whitaker put forth a very interesting opinion, and his thought was, I think he's trying to set up, because Izzy said, or Cannonier, I believe he's going to destroy Robert Whittaker, and I'm going to fight him next. Whittaker goes out and says, then I think he's trying to push that because Cannoneer is most likely a better matchup stylistically than Whittaker versus Izzy, just because of Whittaker's pressure and his wrestling ability. So it is an interesting time in the middleweight division. It honestly, super, super interesting. Another fight that I reckon is going to materialize is Jorge Masvidal versus Colby Covington. That's an excellent fight to see. And that has to be a pay-per-view. It can't be a fight. It can't be a fight night. It can't be a fight night. Don't make it a fight night. Make it a pay-per-view. Make it a pay-per-view.
Maybe even give him a belt as well. King of the shit talk.
Nah, just not making belt. The BMF. Put the BMF up. Just put the BMF up. Just throw that out there.
Or the Battle for America. America's champ.
True. Or fly the Rock out to Fight Island or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Send his big bald head out there.
Well, did you know that what's his name, Colby Covington, was actually at the presidential debate?
He was. I saw a picture of him in the background, actually. Colby was at one of the debates. He was at the debate, but one of Trump's rallies, Jorge was at.
Really?
Yeah, and Jorge was at that. And it was really funny because Trump calls him out and says, look, he pointed out Jorge and he said, oh, he fought that young superstar. He knocked out that young superstar in what, 1-2 seconds? Did you even get paid, Jorge? Can they pay you for 1 or 2 seconds of work? it was hilarious because Ben Askren changed his name to, in quotes, young superstar on Twitter. Because he's like, what is he, 40 or something with a bad hip?
He's 40s and he doesn't fight anymore. Well, yeah, well, there's one other thing I wanted to bring up. This is shying a little bit away.
Shying a little bit away from
MMA, even though it's because it's MMA.
To be fair, it is the everyday hour, but because we didn't do an MMA hour, we wanted to mix it up a little bit.
So it's the every MMA hour.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's one thing I've been watching lately. Have you ever heard of a TV show called The Boys?
I haven't, but I know what it is, but I haven't watched it.
Yeah, me neither. But it looks really.
Did you watch it?
I started watching a couple of episodes.
Wait. Have you watched Dark?
No.
Oh my god, dude!
You're mad. Why can't you? I'm sorry.
Why can't you finish a TV show then move on to the next? Why do you do this?
It just came out too late. Came out too late, dude. I mean, I'm looking.
You haven't
past
got any
it.
Spoilers. Yeah. I know, but you haven't got any spoilers for Dark or anything like that. You don't know what the ending. I haven't told you. Why can't you finish the TV show and then move on to the next?
I don't know. Just something about it. Just I wasn't interested in watching it anymore. Just I needed something new. I don't know. Look, at the end of the day, will I finish it? Probably not. Right now, the reason why I was talking about The Boys is because it's a TV show that everyone's talking about right now. Amazon has now got a card in this streaming service.
It does.
Because
it is
before
doing
that,
well.
I never watched anything on Amazon. And then my dad got Amazon. And then I started watching a couple of episodes of The Boys. And I was like, holy shit. But that Amazon's now got the one of the biggest TV shows. Because Netflix is like, let's say Netflix is the king of the streaming service, right?
I would say so.
Stan has fucking nothing. Amazon now has a card.
Stan just had
American. It used to have,
it had Friends and things like that. Yeah, that you had like the old kind of school ones, or How I Met Your Mother, or something like that.
Yeah, and Disney had The Mandalorian.
Yes. Yep.
Now it's got all these other kind of things coming out. So
Amazon Prime is doing very well. Now I know there's three shows I know that they do very well, and two of them I've watched a good decent a bit.
What are they?
Grand Tour, which is the successor of Jeremy Clarkson's Top Gear with Richard Hammond and James May, which was really good. And another one that they had was Jack Ryan,
which was
a John Krasinski who...
Did you watch that?
I did. I watched a few episodes. Now, I haven't finished it, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I want to watch the Boys, though.
Yeah, I've been watching clips of it. On
YouTube and things like that.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, this isn't really much spoilers, but the story behind the actual TV show itself is so good because you know what it's about, right? You know it's about the superheroes and the public loves them and everything, but really they're actual douchebags and all that, and they're money hungry, power hungry.
I honestly, I've seen some parallels to some of the DC superheroes and that, but I've never seen. I don't know what the plot is at all.
So you got a guy called Homelander who basically is the Superman. He's a douchebag.
That's the maximum amount of knowledge I know about this show.
And then you've got their own Flash called A-Train.
Right.
And then basically you've got like a Wonder Woman called Maeve.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got like a young, like Aquaman. I can't remember. I think he's called Deep or something.
Okay.
And basically the storyline is when a guy is a regular Joe and all that, you know. He loses his girlfriend because one guy, one of the superheroes accidentally kills her. And then basically he wants revenge on the superheroes because they can pretty much get away with anything they want. And then it just shows that how they're trying to deceive the public into getting more power. And then there's a guy called Billy Butcher who's out to get Homelander because I believe that he raped his wife. But you find some more things about it down the track. There's mm-hmm. a lot more to the story. But I just like it because it's a very, again, uncensored. It's they're trying to make it realistic. They're trying to show, like, what if, you know, because if you have that much, there's a saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it just shows that what happens when all these guys have too much control, and if it was in a modern day society, and there's just some moments in there that are just like, whoa, will make me laugh. And then I've got to tell you this right now, this is true. I've just saw this clip on YouTube. Mm-hmm. There's somebody sent it to me and I thought it was absolutely hilarious. So it happened on one of the most recent episodes. Not to give too much context, but they're in one of these like facilities where they capture superheroes mm. and they lock them up. And then this one guy's talking and all of a sudden like this thick piece of rope goes around one of the guy's necks. And then they try and get it off his neck. And then they realize that it's like starting to curl back like a snake. And then it goes towards someone and it goes up someone's leg. Did you just put two and two together? The superhero basically can grow his dick.
Oh.
I saw that and I was like, oh, that is pinnacle disgusting. And I was just thinking to myself, well, they did it. Well, if that was, I'm pretty sure there's people out there.
What do they call that guy? Like super know. Dick?
Super
mega,
dick.
Mega dick?
Snake dick. I don't know. Foot long.
Mr. Dick?
And I just thought, fuck, man, that was.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But I've got to get onto the TV show. I've got to watch a few more episodes of it when I get the time. But, I mean, it's good.
Mm.
It's with me right now, there's only a couple of, it's hard to make the time. I've still got to watch that Social Dilemma.
I haven't watched it yet.
Everyone's talking about it.
Everyone's talking about it. I do want to, I just know that it shows like the negative effects of social media and things like that. I know last week we said we should watch it and then come back, but neither of us have watched it.
No.
I think we should watch it when we do get the chance. You know, there's a few documentaries that I've been trying to, I've got on my list in that, you know, I watched the Bob Lazar one.
Yeah.
I like the Bob Lazar UFO documentary. I don't think it's as good as, or as educational as the actual podcast.
Yeah.
But it is a good documentary, but they do make it maybe a little bit too dramatic.
Yeah. Well, let's actually talk about that, for example.
Okay.
What's your whole take on the whole aliens thing?
I think you would be foolish to think that a very vast and extremely large and an infinitely increasing universe would not have other intelligent life in the span of the how many years the universe has been around outside of us. It would be very foolish and probably quite humanly self-centered to think that we're the only thing half decent intellectually out there. I think that would be silly. Are they more advanced than us? I don't know.
That's the most scariest thing though. Because if they're that more advanced, how long have they got to be around for?
Did you listen to the Bob Lazar one all
no,
the way
I
through?
Didn't, but
you have to, dude. You have to, because I want to
watch parts of it though. I think I've listened to parts of it.
You have to listen to it, dude. It is the most compelling form of evidence that UFOs
exist. Okay, so educate me. Tell me what is the most compelling form of evidence?
It's Bob Lazar's story where, you know, he used to work at first he was producing cars with jet engines and he was doing all kinds of wacky stuff. I think he used to go to MIT and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then... And then, you know, he's then offered a position at a base in order to have a look and deconstruct and even maybe reconstruct some of the some of the machinery and things like that there is there. And, you know, there's an element called, I think it's a, what is it, 115 or something like this. And the he says that the spaceship or the saucer-like machine that they had there was so advanced that there's no way that any other country could have produced it except something that was otherworldly, because he said it was not something that produced propulsion or something like that. It was something that would alter a gravitational field. So it would be able to go very quick in a very short period amount of time, but also slow down in a very short period of time. And it was almost as if light bended around it and things like that. So they said that they'd recovered them, and they recovered something like, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 of them or something like that. It's such a compelling story because Bob then actually, you know, he was very fearful of what this was and how someone could discredit him or most likely kill him for the stuff he knows. So he then reached out to some reporters, and he was initially anonymous, having a lot of, you know, spilling a lot of knowledge and a lot of wisdom on the things that he'd seen and how this is 100% proof. And, you know, I don't really care if you don't believe me. The only reason why I'm telling you is because I'm very fearful for my life. And he stayed anonymous because he didn't want anyone to know. But there were some interesting things that happened to him during that period of time, like one of his cars was damaged and things like that, like the windows broken and things like that. And, you know, he thought of that as warnings by, you know, the government that, you know, don't say anything further. Now, he then went more public, and his story has been around for about 30 odd years or something like that.
And he's still breathing?
He's still breathing. He's still breathing.
Like, I mean, if you had known that much information, right, do you really think the government will want to keep you around for that long?
I think because he went so public at the right moment of time that they couldn't get rid of him, or it was incredibly sus. And I believe he doesn't like to go on too much detail anymore because it's like hitting a dead horse. Or what is it called? Beating old, I don't know. Whatever the phrase is for that. But they even tried to discredit him. They said, you know, you did actually, you know, you didn't go to this lab. And then he showed stuff. He was like, no. I literally filmed myself walking through, and I knew where everything was, and showing that he knew exactly where it was. And actually, I do have my credentials that I was there. And they said, no, we have no credentials that you were ever here, nothing like that. Then they try to discredit him, saying, no, you never did go to this particular university and that. And he went, well, I did. Otherwise, you never would have employed me or things like that. And he was showing, and there were people that worked alongside him and things like that. So it's a very, they first tried to discredit him because that was their only option. They couldn't, you know, whack him or anything like that because he'd already gone public before they could maybe bribe him or get him to shut up permanently.
Well, you know what really, there's one thing I wanted to bring up about aliens. We know that the stereotype for it is a little grey or green man with a massive head and black eyes. How did they first come up with that stereotype?
To be honest, I don't really know. I don't know where it's been around for a long time. It probably came from a cartoon or something like that. And it's probably not bad propaganda for you to think aliens are like that. And so you're like, oh, really? You know, they're going to look like little green men. Like, haha, aliens don't exist. It's quite an easy way to discredit even the concept of other life. You know, I don't know where it came from. It's probably a cartoon or something like that. And then it's been, you know, exasperated and exaggerated from then on, but even flying saucers and things like that.
Yeah.
But even those clips that the Pentagon declassified, I think there's like three videos or something like that of those.
Like an object and it's like tilting in the air and then taking off an insane speed. Like, defining the laws of it.
To be honest, what I think about is if it goes that fast, the amount of G's that would be insane.
Yeah.
What could even survive a trip that quick?
Yeah.
So it's very, because you're already, when you're an astronaut, you need to train yourself for, I think the max they go is maybe 9 G's or 10 G's or something like that. And they're forcing blood into the head. Even those fighter pilots, they do the same thing. You know, they have to literally shunt blood back to their head by doing this.
Yeah, and they have to like breathe through those masks, for oxygen masks, and
yeah,
it's insane. I mean, like, well, the other thing I wanted to talk about when it comes to aliens is that one of the biggest theories there is when it comes to aliens is the idea behind the pyramids. Like the reason why, pyramids are so fascinating is because to this day we still can't figure out how they built them and how they were so mathematically correct in a time when, you know, the word algebra or word like geometry or any of that sort of mathematical terms wasn't even invented yet, or any theorems were invented yet. And they used copper tools, these giant stones that are made from a quarry that was like 30 miles away. They didn't have any wheel.
They're about like 2,000 tons each and things like that.
And they would literally have to get people to carry them. And they found out if it would just took a while, if you could just place 10 of these massive stones, it would take you like at least a year just to get them there. And then how they were so perfectly cut. You know, they must have had some very high knowledge to figure that out.
The perfectly cut thing is the thing that is questionable. The size of the stones, I don't find that crazy. The reason why I say that is something can be moved if you've got enough people and you've got time. Mm-hmm. What was interesting was, have you heard of, what is it called? It's called the Sphinx Erosion Hypothesis. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
So the normal archaeologists and Egyptologists believe that the Sphinx was about 3,000 years old or something like that, right? And then actually alternative Egyptologists and that had actually, and even climatologists had a look and looked at the erosion patterns of the Sphinx and said, actually, this has been eroded by rainfall. The only time this could have occurred for rainfall to erode this to this capacity is, quite a long time ago. And they then dated it back and said, look, it could be as old as 12,000 years old. 12,000 years is a long time for you to sculpt something perfectly. The perfect angle thing is the one that is the bit trippy bit. But the size of something, the amount of slaves that the Egyptians had and the amount of workforce that they had would have been okay. But I feel like the amount of time they had would have been all right. It is the amount of years it took for it to be built makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? For you to move something so heavy. Do I think it was a enormous laborious process? 100%.
How did they even come up with the idea? We're going to build something like that. It's going to be that big. It's going to take us that long. We're going to calculate it perfectly.
Because I feel like it's time. Yeah, I think it's time. A huge amount of time.
The Egyptians, they wrote in hieroglyphics. They had figures for every word or every letter. How the hell can you calculate something like that if your word, if your language doesn't involve writing down words? That's one thing that's fascinating.
It is very fascinating, especially the position of the pyramids as well.
Exactly.
Where it was. And
you can calculate it without having to use a calculator because obviously of technology. Yeah. Who was writing all these things down?
To be honest, I don't know. If, you know, there is... It sounds silly when you say about it. And even now when we're saying, you know, it's not really that silly to talk about aliens, but even then you still sound silly, like if aliens have contacted people.
Yeah.
Do I know why they would contact you to produce pyramids? Because pyramids are literally where you would just seal dead people, dead pharaohs. They would seal them in there. They would then seal the, whatchamacallit, they would seal the architects in that in there, and the guards, they would seal them inside the pyramids because they didn't want anyone to know where the traps were or anything like that. So they would put the architects into the pyramid and be like, look, you guys know too much. We don't want anyone to know. Here you go, yeah. Close. So yeah, it is like a weird thing to think about. Yeah. I don't know how something so huge and so laborious could be done perfectly. Even, you know, to be honest, let's say they're correct. The Sphinx and things like that and other structures are 12,000 years old. 12,000 years old is a long time for people to become very educated and to learn things like that and to grow intellectually and mathematically and things like that. The amount of like work it would take over such a long time is insane. And that's what makes it questionable if some other civilization came in and then prompted something to occur. I just don't know. You have to think of the why. Whenever there's a conspiracy, you always have to think of why.
You know what
I'm why would they do that?
I'm actually going to do a whole lot of research this week in my free time about pyramids. And we got to clear some more
I think so.
A little bit more education.
I think so.
I feel like a little bit fired up. We need to finish this podcast. I feel like we should finish the podcast right here and now.
Yeah.
Next time we do the everyday hour, we'll do a little bit more of a discussion when it comes to the pyramids.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
All right.
So let's finish it up there.
So we talked about a little bit of MMA. We talked about at the start was, you know, Trump versus Biden, all the election shit. Trump getting COVID, lol.
Some Twitter beefs, some Conor McGregor.
Twitter beefs, Conor McGregor, MMA shit. Talk about pyramids, UFOs, documentaries we like. So. Some movies, Aliens,
The Boys.
There's a whole lot of shit we talked about today. So thanks so much for listening, guys. I hope you appreciate the better audio, some of the equipment, the things that we're trying to improve the quality of the show and things like that. I hope you enjoy that. There's better things to come. Hopefully, we're going to have guests on. I'd love to have the boys from The Four Laugh. I'd love to have Daniel and Connor on as our first guests. We even
put them in those chairs.
No, we'll have to get them some good chairs.
Better chairs.
That would be good.
More cameras as well.
We'll need a couple more cameras and things like that. You know, we're gonna add a little bit more shit. So if you've got any comment below, if you want any shit in the background, I want posters and shit like that in the back. That'd be sick. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Okay, guys. All the best.
Bye.